You found the Viceroy Great Books Podcast. Welcome. We think Christian men of all flavors can pull insights from historical writers about how to govern more and govern well, so the king gets max glory. To start, we will explore Marcus Aurelius' Meditations. Now, he was a pagan emperor, Roman emperor. We know that. We know he was pagan, but that doesn't stop us. We think that there's some real treasure here. We'll follow that with a 15th century monk theologian Thomas Aquinas, The Imitation of Christ. We plan to chunk and chew it, bit by bit, sub-20-minute episodes. And your host, both of us, two old friends, will do our best to contextualize and make commentary about how it can apply to us today. We'd love it if you'd join us. You're welcome to more resources at theviceroyproject.com, where you can find out more about how to join the Viceroy community, where we meet together on an app. Take care. Okay, welcome to another episode, episode 4 of the Viceroy Great Books Podcast. And we're going to continue our examination of Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. And so I will begin here with The Emperor Says. Okay, from Fronto, I learned to observe what envy, duplicity, which means deception, and hypocrisy are in a tyrant, and that generally those who among us who are called patricians are rather deficient in paternal affection. From Alexander the Platonic, not frequently nor without necessity to say to anyone or to write in a letter that I have no leisure, nor continually to excuse the neglect of duties required by our relations to those with whom we live by alleging urgent occupations. From Catullus, not to be indifferent when a friend finds fault, even if he should find fault without reason, but to try to restore him to his usual disposition and to be ready to speak well of teachers, as it is reported of Domitius and Athenodotus, and to love my children truly. From my brother Severus, to love my kin and to love truth and to love justice. And through him I learned to know Thrasea, Helvidius, Cato, Dion, Brutus, and from him I received the idea of a polity in which there was in the same law for all, a polity administered with a regard to equal rights and equal freedom of speech, and the idea of a kingly government which respects most of all the freedom of the governed. I learned from him also consistency, an undeviating steadiness in my regard for philosophy, and a disposition to do good, and to give to others readily, and to cherish good hopes, and to believe that I am loved by my friends, and in him I observed no concealment of his opinion with respect to those who he condemned, and that his friends had no need to conjecture what he wished or did not wish, but it was quite plain. From Maximus I learned self-government, and not to be led aside by anything, and cheerfulness in all circumstances, as well as in illness, and a just admixture in the moral character of sweetness and dignity, and to do what was set before me without complaining. I observed that everybody believed that he thought as he spoke, and that in all that he did he never had any bad intention. And he never showed amazement and surprise, and was never in a hurry, and never put off doing a thing, nor was perplexed, nor dejected, nor did he ever laugh to disguise his vexation, nor, on the other hand, was he ever passionate or suspicious. He was accustomed to do acts of beneficence, and was ready to forgive, and was free from all falsehood, and he presented the appearance of a man who could not be diverted from right, rather than of a man who had been improved. I observed, too, that no man could ever think that he was despised by Maximus, or ever venture to think himself a better man. He had also the art of being humorous in an agreeable way. Okay, that's what the emperor said. Now, there are some funny, bizarre little things in here, mm-hmm. and so we're going to just kind of dig them out here. So, the first thing that I noticed, and again, we're going to look at this and certainly through the lens of the scriptures and what is it that we saw represented in Christ Jesus that is different than this Stoic thought, but there's a lot here that really is just good counsel. So from Fronto, I learned to observe what envy and duplicity, which is that intentional deception, and hypocrisy are in a tyrant, and that generally those among us who are called patricians are rather deficient in paternal affection. Now, I was reading this wondering whether Fronto had helped unpack all of this and communicated this, or whether Fronto himself was this glaring example of all of these bad traits, mm-hmm. right? Like, hey, I watched this guy Fronto, and I figured out what does envy look like and duplicity and hypocrisy. I hope that he is trying to honor, and I suspect he's trying to honor Fronto and saying that Fronto was just merely pointing all of this out, like, pay attention to this, right? Did you have the same thought?
Well, I saw the way my translation offers that final line. It says, in the peculiar ruthlessness often shown by people from quote-unquote good families.
That's right.
And it kind of made me think of almost like the mafia or something. Like, mm-hmm. what in the world, you know?
Yeah. And the Roman patrician families were like what we think of as the aristocracy. So these are the ruling, governing families where they were drawing out of these families senators and then the ones who vied for power mm-hmm. as emperors. So these are the best families in Rome, but one also thinks, well, we didn't see much great quality in these, the best families in Rome.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
And then I also wanted to make mention of he itemizes envy. And just this past week, I heard someone say, the best definition for envy I've heard is counting everybody's blessings except your own.
Ooh, that's good.
That's Damn. Really good.
That is good.
Yeah. All right, so Alexander the Platonic.
Woo! I'd rather skip Alexander the Platonic.
Okay.
Yeah, I put out beside this one, ouch.
Yeah.
I'll read it from my translation, too.
Okay.
It says, not to be constantly telling people or writing them that I'm too busy, unless I really am. Similarly, not to be always ducking my responsibilities to the people around me because of, quote-unquote, pressing business.
Mm-hmm.
Whew, that's rough.
Yeah.
Guilty as charged.
I know. I wish I had no way to feel like I identify with this. We have been running our own business now for, I've been in this through 8 years. And I remember in the first couple of years, I was talking to my old friend, Pat, mm-hmm. and he said, you run around like you're too busy.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, gosh, man, that's I am. And he said, no. You need to walk around like you've got it licked. Mm-hmm. You need to be calm, cool, collected. And even though you may be a cauldron on the inside, you need to look composed like all this is pretty easy for you. That old saying of never let them see you sweat is kind of important. It means that you're in command and that if you look harried and slapdash and run this way and that, they have no confidence that you can deliver.
That's good.
And I was like, okay, good word.
Wait, when was this?
This was about 6 years ago, okay. Probably.
So in your adult years.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's good.
Yep.
Yeah, this is tough. You know, there's two things going on here. This is one of those examples you're referring to that, yes, we want to look at this through the scriptures, but there's also just sound counsel.
Yep.
This is just sound counsel.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way around it. But there's two things here. One is you don't ever want to be like, you don't ever want to be, you know, false or fake. You know, you want to be authentic, but also I agree with Pat. Like, mm-hmm. you really can just kind of step aside, catch your breath, and then
mm-hmm.
assure people that, like, you know,
it's good.
You can take a lot of pressure. It's going to be all right. You know,
yeah.
Man, and how to walk that balance where you can be authentic but also not be, you know, outwardly pressurized mm-hmm. is difficult. I put out in the margins just some notes. Just make the call, share the table, write the letter, settle into the conversation. Stop looking at your own watch so much. You know,
yeah.
This is very convicting. So
mm-hmm.
good stuff.
Yeah. Also, the guy who complains about how much is on his plate, if he's just constantly talking about how much he's got going on, it's like, it's sort of true that everybody wants to respond, nobody cares, work harder.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Also, and this hits me real hard too. And I sense it in myself when, I'm kind of talking about how much I got on my plate. It's a little bit of a humble brag for how important you think you are.
Yeah, right.
Like, look how important I am. All these people want me.
Right.
And it's like, oh, shut up.
Yeah,
you're not
right.
that important, you know?
That's right. Okay, so Catullus,
mm-hmm.
all right, to not be indifferent when a friend finds fault, even if he should do so without reason, but to try to restore him to his usual disposition.
Mm-hmm.
This is just, I think, a special kind of grace that
yeah.
that if people are mad at you and they're bent out of shape and you clearly don't really have anything to be apologetic about,
yeah.
you can still be like, hey, I hear you, you know, and I want to get that patched up.
Yeah. It says in my translation, not to shrug off a friend's resentment, even unjustified resentment, but try to put things right. This is Matthew chapter 5. This mm-hmm. is if you get to the altar and remember
mm-hmm.
that someone else is offended against you, leave and go try to take care of that thing and then come back. You
right.
know, like try to have that grace to seek to make peace, you know.
That's right. Yes. And also, evidently, Catullus was good at loving his own children. So that's good.
Good.
Yeah. And then from Severus, to love my kin, to love truth, and to love justice. All of this, he talks about equality. I was thinking about in the Old Testament about God loves equal weights and equal measures,
mm-hmm.
that just justice is an important thing. And to do good and to give to others readily and to cherish good hopes and to believe I am loved by my friends, that's great.
Mm.
So, and then lastly, but it was quite plain, all right? He had no need to conjecture what he wished or did not wish, but he was quite plain. So he's a straight shooter.
Yeah.
From Maximus, I learned self-government, not to be led aside by anything, be cheerful in all circumstances, as well as even in illness. That's a challenge when you feel like crap. And to do what was set before me without complaining.
Mm-hmm.
This is, to me, some of the most... The essence of Stoic thought here, which mm-hmm. is I'm not griping, I'm not making excuses, I'm owning my stuff, I'm owning my responsibility, and I'm doing it, and I'm going to just get it done.
Yeah, this is also, man, this is where having the Holy Spirit is so important, because this also kind of ties in with like Paul's like being thankful in all circumstances, not being governed by the facts, but being governed by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Here, of course, you know, in Stoicism, the Stoics would have, you know, trained their own flesh to respond a particular way. This is part of, you know, us as believers being led by the Spirit, that we are not controlled by the facts and circumstances of life. We're going to be thankful in all of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's still good counsel.
It is.
It's good counsel.
Yes. And not to be led around by a complaining heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was our fourth episode there. We will see you next week. Remember, you can find out more about us at theviceroyproject.com, where you can also sign up to be a part of the app. And yeah, you guys take care. Bye.